Praise. Our children's program is growing. Number of kids showing up in the various classes are growing on the various days, and that's a praise. We thank God for that, but because of that, there's a need. We need help, volunteers. I was given some numbers this morning, and frankly, I don't remember. But there's a bunch. We need some Sunday school teachers. We need some helpers on the children's church. I mean, during this service, there's children that we're trying to minister to and teach, just as we do with the adults. And we have a need. So I'm asking you to fill the need, to prayerfully find out which place you can serve. Sunday school, children's church, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, or as you heard Julie explain, even on Thursday afternoons. We have a responsibility as well. Let me read you a passage from Matthew 25, verse 21. It's the parable of the talents. I love this parable. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's what we all want to hear Christ say to us one day, hopefully. It's what I want. One of the things that motivates me. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. As God entrusts us with a few things, let this church be responsible and good stewards with what God has entrusted us with, and then he may choose to entrust us with more. So I ask you, as God blesses us with children, let's be wise stewards with them. Turn with me to Romans, and we'll continue our study through Romans. We're going to chew through a lot this morning. If you've been here for any length of time, you know that 10 or 11 verses is a lot for us in one morning. So we will get started and do the best we can. Don't want to leave any important information behind or out, but stand with me as we get started. Romans chapter 14, we'll start with verse 13 this morning. Follow along with me. Verse 13, "Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurting, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men." Verse 19. "So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything which by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for today. We thank you for the freedoms that we have and enjoy in this country. We thank you, frankly, for those who have made that possible through the sacrifice of their lives. Father, let us never forget the cost of the freedoms that we have. Father, we are privileged and we're grateful for your blessing upon this land. Father, let us take advantage of it as long as we have it. And Father, more so than the freedoms of this country is the freedom that we have in Christ and the ability to read the very words of God in our hands. And we are grateful for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your words. This morning, Father, I pray that you'll help us study your word, that your Spirit would go before us, teach us, convict us, mold us, and shape us, Father, so that we can please you in all that we do. We are yours, Father, and we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, today, if we get through all this, we will finish the chapter, and therefore finish discussing personal convictions. This morning, we look at the limits of personal convictions. They have limits. Verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. How many times have we heard that in this chapter? No judging. Verse 1, verse 4, verse 10, and now verse 13. Do you think that's important when it comes to personal convictions? Don't judge. Why does God keep telling us that? Hey, these guys are prayerfully developing through faith before me, between God and them, convictions on how can I please God? And we're not to judge them. We're not to criticize them, critique them, because it's easy to do that, isn't it? It is so easy for us to look at someone else's personal convictions, a person who lives by these principles and convictions that they've developed prayerfully, faithfully, between them and God, and man, we can tear them apart, can't we? It's easy to look at those and criticize them and judge them. I mean, it's the same thing we do with other behavior. Christ reminds us, hey, take the big board out of your own eye before you get the little toothpick out of somebody else's eye. Same thing. Listen, when it comes to behavior and sin, focus on yourself. Worry about that log in your own eye before you start worrying about somebody else's little toothpick. And with personal convictions, it is very easy to criticize and critique and judge and be judgmental against another man's opinions and convictions between them and God. But God wants us to focus on ourselves. God's worried about Chip and Chip's spiritual growth and Chip's relationship with him. And God convicts me, and I hopefully will prayerfully and faithfully develop personal convictions. I need to worry about Chip and Chip's personal convictions and not go around judging on somebody else's personal convictions. It's important. You with me? What do we do instead? Instead of judging and criticizing, we're to respect the other person. In verse 3 and verse 10, we're told not to regard others in contempt or with contempt. Instead, we're supposed to respect them. And in our text this morning, verse 13, therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather, instead, we're to respect them and do this. Determine this. That's a commitment. When we determine this is what we're supposed to do instead of judging and criticizing someone's personal convictions, rather to determine this, not to do what? Put an obstacle in their way. Not to put a stumbling block in their way. What does that mean? What's An obstacle. An obstacle to what? Spiritual growth. I'm going to respect their personal convictions, and I'm not going to do anything to hinder another man's spiritual growth or woman's spiritual growth. Stumbling block. What's a stumbling block cause you to do? Stumble. Not rocket science, is it? What does that mean? Stumble. Stumble in our walk of obedience with Christ. It means sin. Listen, I'm supposed to limit my actions and my behavior and my freedoms in Christ and my personal convictions. I'm supposed to determine to do this so that someone else will not have an obstacle, something that prevents them from growing spiritually. I'm not to put a stumbling block, temptation, do something that may cause someone else to sin. It's two things. What else? We're not to judge, not to criticize, no stumbling blocks, no obstacles. But pastor, what if we disagree with them? Imagine that. Can we actually, do you think maybe there might be a point where you might not agree with someone else's personal convictions? Absolutely. Look at verse 14. Here's Paul telling you straight up. Paul says, I know and I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean. He's referring back to the food. Remember the food issue? Eat meat, don't eat meat. Some of this meat may have been offered to pagan idols. Some of the early Christians didn't want anything to do with it. Others said, hey, it's a deal, discounted meat. Doesn't matter. I'm going to buy some discounted meat and eat the meat. Paul says, well, I have a different conviction over that. I know, Paul says, I am convinced in the Lord, Paul says, that nothing is unclean in itself. Paul's right, isn't he? God tried to tell Apostle Peter that. In fact, he took three times before Peter finally got it. But let's finish reading the sentence here. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Paul is saying, hey, we're going to have differing personal convictions. It's going to happen. And then what do we do? Then what? Have a little chat with him? Whip out a couple Bible verses? Maybe. We're not going to criticize, not going to judge, we're going to respect. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 15. What do we do when we differ in our personal convictions? For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to what? To love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. We may talk with someone. We may share scripture, biblical principles. But we let them be. If someone has prayerfully, faithfully determined between him and God, they're not to eat meat, let them be. That's what we do. You let them be. What else? We love them. You love them anyway. It's okay. We're all different in many ways. And if two people have two differing personal convictions over the same thing, let them be. And love them. Listen, Christ died for that brother or sister. Love them. You can share biblical principles. You can share your opinions, but don't judge them. Cause them to sin. Don't put a stumbling block in their spiritual growth. In order to not do that, to not put a stumbling block in their way, not put an obstacle in their way. That means not only do we let them be, not only do we love them, but we do without. That's the hard part, isn't it? That's the limitations, to do without. We don't want to hurt them. We love them enough not to hurt them or destroy them. New believers are often like new plants. You ever done any gardening? Planted a tomato or something? Your little seed starts growing, a little sapling starts poking out of the earth. And what do to that? You protect it. You put stuff around it. You barricade it. Put a fence or wire or something or a stake or tied to something so it doesn't get what? You don't want to get stepped on. You put it in a special little garden with bricks or something around it so your husband doesn't run it over with a lawnmower. Or your son or somebody. So it doesn't get stepped on. You protect it. And so it is with new believers as they seek to find out what is sin and avoid that and stop doing that. And as they seek to please God and what's best, they come up with personal convictions on these grace areas. And man, it's so easy to trample on that, isn't it? We can get all on somebody's face and we can start telling them, look, have you read the New Testament? And there's nothing unclean about meat. I mean, if all people, Paul was certainly equipped to do that. Man, he could have shut that person down quick, couldn't he? Quoting chapter and verse. But he didn't want to hurt the new little sapling. The new growing Christian. He realizes that that man or woman or boy or girl is loved by God. And he loves them too. He's not going to hurt them. Oh, he'll try to teach and encourage and exhort. But he's going to do so in a non-threatening, non-harmful, non-destructive way. And therefore, we walk in love with one another. We behave in a loving way. And we let them be, and we do without. Let's talk more about doing without. If your brother has a personal conviction about not eating meat, then we don't eat meat around him, do we? We give up our rights. We hear so much about rights and freedoms in Christ, but that's not love. Love is doing without. Love is giving up my rights for someone else. Because I love them. Because I don't want them to stumble. I don't want them to stop growing. So, I do without. Look at verse 16. Why do without? Why else do without? Why limit our freedom, our personal convictions? Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. It's our reputation. We don't do something. We give up our right or our freedom. Or we limit our personal convictions to protect our reputation. It may be legal. It may be even biblical. Maybe biblically okay. But we do without anyway. Because we don't want to damage our reputation, our witness, our testimony in Christ. Again, remember, growing Christians are more concerned with pleasing God than looking for loopholes. And in context this morning, growing Christians are more concerned with pleasing God than demanding their rights. Demanding their freedoms. No stumbling blocks. No obstacles. No judging. Respect them. Love them. And do without. Our reputation is a reflection of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? We wear his name. There are things I don't do for a number of reasons. Places I don't go for a number of reasons. One, because it may just be too tempting for Chip. Another reason may be because I don't want anybody to stumble. I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression. I don't want evil spoken of me. I don't want to hinder anybody's walk with Christ by doing something that may be biblically acceptable, maybe legal from the legalistic standpoint, maybe a loophole in Scripture. But I don't do it. I do without anyway. Why? Because I don't even want to be tempted to sin. I got enough problems with that. I don't want evil being spoken to me. I want to protect my reputation, my witness for Jesus Christ. I wear His name. Many people do not share their faith because they do not protect their reputation in Christ. One of the biggest fears is, well, I haven't lived like a Christian, even though I say I'm a Christian, so I'm fearful to tell people I'm a Christian. And change. Start living like a Christian. Start protecting your reputation. Don't allow evil to be spoken of you. And I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. I don't want to put an obstacle in a brother's path. Man, we're not going to make it through unless I speed up a little bit, are we? So let's go a little faster if I can and not neglect anything. Why else do we worry about our reputation? Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of priorities. The kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking. It's not about eating meat or not eating meat. What's the kingdom of God about? It says it right here. Righteousness, peace, and joy. It's a matter of priorities. That's where my priorities should be. Living in a righteous way. Living in a peaceful way. Living with joy. Living and walking in the Holy Spirit. Not worried about silly meat or not meat or whatever the personal conviction issue is over. It's a matter of priorities. Protect my reputation because of the kingdom of God. Look at verse 18. For he who is this way, in this way, serves Christ, is acceptable to God and approved by men. Doing without, limiting your freedoms and rights, is service to God. Yielding even your own personal conviction. The Apostle Paul, personal conviction, no problem with me. There's no unclean food. Paul's read Scripture. He's even written some. But he says, for the sake of a brother, because I love a brother, I'm going to yield my right. And God's telling us if we yield our rights, that's service to God. Man, we live in a world that loves freedoms, loves rights, demands our rights. And as Christians, as believers who love God, love Christ, love one another, we're to yield our rights for their sake, because we love them. How about some results? What are the results? Look at verse 19. I have 6 pages of notes, and that always makes me nervous. So I'm staying away from my notes, okay? We'll be here a while. Verse 19, the results. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. That's the results of yielding our rights and limiting our personal convictions. Man, I got a right to eat meat. My personal conviction is meat's okay. But I'm going to yield that right. And the results? Peace. And building up one another. I love my brother enough. Let's take Fred. You remember good old Fred? We'll use him as an example. Fred gets freaked out over eating meat. That's his personal conviction. I love meat. Okay, I like meat. I'm okay with meat. but I love Fred more. And so I don't eat meat around Fred because I don't want to freak Fred out. I don't want to cause him to stumble. I don't want to cause him to hurt. I don't want to destroy him. I want him to grow in his relationship with Christ. Man, if the time is right, and my relationship with Fred's at a point where I can talk with Fred about what Scripture says about meat versus not meat, I'll get there. I'll do that. But I'm not inviting Fred over for a steak dinner. You understand? You get the point? We yield our rights. We pursue peace and the building up of one another. Therefore, we love one another. Verse 20, more limits. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. Man, these personal convictions, they can be obstacles, stumbling blocks. They can tear down the work of God. We can hurt our brother and destroy them by exercising, demanding our rights. But do you realize this? We can mess up the work of God. Take Fred again for an example. Man, Fred is faithfully, prayerfully trying to please God. That's good. He's trying to be obedient. That's growth. I'm not going to let something like meat get in the way. I don't know what God's trying to teach Fred. I'm not going to mess it up. I'm going to let God work on Fred's heart. In reality, I don't know Fred's issues. I don't know where he is, where he's been. I don't know his background. I don't know his struggles. I don't know his addictions. I don't know his history. I don't know his problems. I'm going to respect Fred and his personal convictions. I'm going to limit mine because I love Fred. I'm not going to stand in the way of God working on Fred and growing Fred. Does that make sense? Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. Don't let our actions be spoken of as evil. Verse 21. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. Sounds like what we just said in verse 13. It is good for you not to do anything that causes a brother to stumble in Christ. We've got to respect and love and cherish and nurture and build up one another. Not only is spiritual growth my responsibility for me, but God commands us to exhort one another, encourage one another, do a word study on one another in Scripture. Man, if I love you, I'm going to help you grow spiritually. So I'm going to do without. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. I think that's on the board somewhere. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. Act as free men, and that we are. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for what? As a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves, slaves by choice of God. Man, so often we rationalize, we justify, we use this freedom in Christ, our rights and our liberties, as loopholes or excuses for sin. And we go around and we get used to it, and then we start thinking, well, you know, I'm mature in Christ. I've grown in my faith, so it's okay for me to go to these places. I don't have a problem with eating that or drinking that or going there or doing that or watching that movie. It's wrong. You're trying to use your freedoms as a covering for sin. You need to get on your knees and ask God What do you want me to do? You're not going to find the title of movies in Scripture. You're not going to find a little parental guidance rating system for movies in Scripture. You have to prayerfully get on your knees and talk to God. What's best, God? What's going to please you, God? Not, oh, I can handle that. That's no different than what I hear at work. You're not pursuing holiness. You're not pursuing obedience. You're not pursuing to be Christ-like. You're looking for loopholes. Scripture says, do not let your freedoms be a covering for sins. Listen, I don't drink alcohol. It's a personal conviction for a number of reasons. It is a sin to be drunk. And there's a fine line between drinking and being drunk. God doesn't have a breathalyzer. I don't know what a .08 is versus a .10, a point whatever. It's too risky for me. I don't even want to get close, so I don't drink. I know my own limitations. I enjoy food. Go figure. Alcohol is a drug. It's addictive. I don't even want to start down that path because I know where it might lead. So don't do it. I'd rather please God. I'd rather do without. I don't want to push the boundaries of the envelopes of my rights in Christ. I don't want to do it. Alcohol in our culture is just way associated way too much with evil. Evil activities. And I'm not comfortable with it. Because I don't want any evil being spoken to me. And there's some things I can control, and that's one of them. So I don't do it. I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. Even more so now as a pastor. But this applies to everybody. I had the same personal conviction in college. Before I became a pastor. And it was that I don't want to risk an immature believer seeing me and getting the wrong impression. Or I don't want me to be a cause of causing someone's spiritual growth to stumble. Or to sin, to fall. So I don't do it. I don't do it. I give up that right. It is good not to eat meat, or to drink wine, or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. Man, we have to stop worrying about exercising our rights and start loving one another. Verse 22. The faith which you have is your own conviction before God. Personal conviction, they take faith. You faithfully seek what pleases God. You faithfully develop the personal conviction before God. It's between you and God. And you faithfully apply that personal conviction. That's the key part. Application. And here's the important thing of it all. Middle of verse 22. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. The word happy is a Greek word translated blessed. It means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself in what he does. How is that? And what he approves, not what he does. He does that what he approves. Look at verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. You get that? If you have properly developed a personal conviction before God, between you and God, if you prayerfully, faithfully, got on your knees. Said, God, I want to please you. I don't know, do I need to go to these kind of places? Do I need to watch these kind of movies? Do I need to talk that kind of way? Do I need to have this kind of job? Do I need to hang around with these kind of people or not? Give me guidance, God, because above all, I want to please you in all aspects. And you faithfully, prayerfully ask God, seek his guidance and his instructions. And then he convicts you through his Holy Spirit. You know what? Chip, stay away from meat, man. If you come to that conclusion and then you eat meat anyway, it's a sin. You see the seriousness now of this personal convictions? While God spends an entire chapter on this thing? Man, if God convicts you not to drink alcohol and you're at a business meeting or a business party and you cop out and wimp out and you drink anyway, you have sinned before God. Because you have honestly, prayerfully, faithfully sought to please God, to get his instructions and his convictions on one of these areas, and then you deliberately went against it anyway. And deliberate, or not deliberate, but obedience is the point here. And if you disobey God, that's sin. That's the severity of it. It is a sin to reject God's instructions and convictions, even if they're personal convictions. You hear me? The same goes for following God's will in every other aspect of your life. If God tells you to go do something and you don't do it, that's a sin. You're not walking obediently. That's disobedience. God says you to go serve him some way, somewhere, and you don't do it, that's a sin. You seek God's will for your life, where to go, what to do, and he tells you and you don't do it, that's a sin. That's serious. God wants total surrendered hearts. He wants you to give up even your rights in order to please him. That's what makes him happy. That's how we love him back. We please him. So now what? What about us? Now what, so what? Personal convictions, big deal. Spend a lot of time on them. The point is, you need to examine your behavior. Is it pleasing to God? Every aspect of your life? Are you growing in Christ? Ultimately, it's your responsibility if you're growing in Christ. What is God personally convicting you about? Nothing? Wow. Nothing? You know, you have to spend time with God to get a clue about what he wants for you. And if you're clueless, it may be because you're not spending any time with God. We have got to spend time daily with God. You can't have a relationship without time. I don't care who it's with. If you want a relationship with Christ, you need to spend time with him. If you want to know what God wants for you and your life, his will, his desires, you want to know what pleases God, you got to spend time with him. You got to spend time reading and studying the very words of God. You have to spend time praying, talking, listening to God. I'd start there. I'd seek God. I'd seek his face, man. On my hands and knees if I had to. Find a quiet place and lock yourself in there. Seek to please God. You say you love God? Man, we're not. Are we there yet? I'm not there yet. Are you there? Have we reached that perfection? Are we 100% like Christ in all aspects of our life? I'm nowhere even close, man. And if we're not, then we have more growth that we need to do. It's our responsibility. Let's pray. Bow your heads.